Our Heavenly Father, we praise you for Christ, our Saviour. And Father, we do thank you now that your word is a lamp to guide our feet, a bright light to shine on our path. So by your Spirit now at work, please teach us your ways. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
The next reading is from Luke chapter 11, and can be found on page 892 of the Bibles. Jesus teaching on prayer. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation." Then Jesus said to them, "Suppose you have a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have no food to offer him.' And suppose the one inside answers, 'Don't bother me. The door's already locked, and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks, Julia. Thanks, Gary. Please keep Luke 11 open in front of you. When the disciples ask Jesus, "Teach us to pray," what we get here is a masterclass from the Lord Jesus. I don't know if you watch any of those master type shows on TV. There used to be one called Mastermind. I think it's been updated and they now call it The Chaser. Do you watch that? Anyway, there's another one called Master Chef. Some of you could do with watching Master Chef, I think. Here, actually, we get a master class in praying with Jesus. Just amazing. He aims to spur on your praying. There's the intention. There's the whole aim. And so a useful starting question right up front is, how's your praying? It's a question we can all ask wherever we're at with God. How's your praying? How would you describe the state of things between you bringing your requests to God, who knows you? I'm aware a question like that brings so many different reactions. From someone who sort of is yet to think about God, like it's a question, why would I pray? Prayer might not be on the radar. But for those of us who know the Lord, a question like that can quickly bring a sense of guilt. I'm not praying enough. Or disappointment. Oh, I wish I didn't get so distracted. All of those different emotions. But I'm not aiming to burden us. I'm just aiming to ask us the question, how's your praying? Because to recognise and consider where we're up to, that's a helpful thing. As we check the pulse of our prayer life, wonder what you would say about your own. Would you say your prayer life is active, operational? Would you say your prayer life is, well, a bit more sporadic, actually? Would you say, actually, my prayer life is emergency phone calls only to God? Or perhaps you might say, look, my prayer life consists mostly of, I just pray the prayers that we have at church. That's fine. In fact, one of the reasons I'm in favour of set prayer, I know sometimes you can just sort of mouth prayers that we have up on the screen and they mean nothing. But actually, these prayers help us to pray even when we don't really feel like praying. And that happens to all of us. Jesus shows praying is important. It's a routine for him. So that would be enough to have us think we should be praying. But actually, he knows we need help. His disciples come to him seeking help. Teach us, Lord. Teach us to pray. And he does so wonderfully. Masterclass we get here. Even as we think about life shows us we need to pray. We all need God's help. And this week, one really obvious reason we need God's help is our days are numbered. The death of Queen Elizabeth this week, amazing servant of the people that she was, her death reminds us that, our death is coming. And God's the one who promises to take us through death and into life. So how important it is to be on speaking terms with God. How important. The Lord of life, the Lord over death, the Lord of life. Well, how's your praying? Whatever your current situation, whether you pray routinely or not much, whatever your situation, I hope in this passage there'll be at least one detail that Jesus gives us that will be a spur, a help to have you praying all the more. We'll cover the passage under two headings, and I've put these in the news sheet. You've got a little pen there, so if you needed to take down a note or a question. But there's two headings there, pray in this way, no need to hesitate. There are two headings. We'll sort of work through the passage with those headings and then we'll finish with some practicalities. So pray then in this way, verses 2 to 4. Let's sort of focus our attention there. And as we orient to prayer, we might even ask, what is praying? Actually, Jesus says there in verse 2, when you pray, say, small little word, small detail, but praying involves saying. That might seem a really obvious point to you, but actually there are books written on things like, quote, wordless prayer, or listening prayer, or enacted prayer. And that can make us pretty confused. What is prayer at that point? Oh, Jesus says praying is saying. When you pray, say. We might think, isn't praying when you empty the mind? No, that's meditation, or that's some other thing. Praying involves words. Saying words to God, and saying words either through our mouths or in our hearts and minds to the Lord, who knows. He delights to hear when you speak to him. And what a prayer it is that Jesus teaches us to say. Luke gives us here a shortened version of what we call the Lord's Prayer. Why the shortened version? I think probably because Jesus would have taught this a number of times, and so Luke just picks up on one of those. And the words he gives here, they're not like some magic set of words, abracadabra, if you only say these. No. We can say more than these words. In fact, Martin Luther, I was reading his thoughts on the Lord's Prayer. He's critical of churches that he says, prattle off these words, giving no thought to the substance of what's being asked. Here are a comprehensive set of priorities captured in these few words that we're invited to take to God when we pray. Notice how Jesus begins with God and God's concerns and then moves to us, our needs, both daily and eternal. Let's think about it under those sort of two general categories. He begins with God, and I've got to say, in some ways, the whole prayer is captured in the very first word, Father. God, our Creator, is not a father to us by natural birth. We come to know God as Father when the Son saves us, when He opens our eyes, when He gives us His Holy Spirit, causes us to trust Him and to know Him as a Heavenly Father. Do you call God Father? I hope you do. God, when God gives His Spirit to us, we see the Lord for who He is and we think, yes, what an amazing God we have, and call Him Father. Jesus calls God Abba, Father. That word Abba, such a personal, precious, intimate sort of term. That's what He invites you to pray and you to say. And that's how he invites you to address God, Father. This sort of intimacy, you might call it, is unknown among the religions of the world. There's a fellow who grew up in a Muslim country who became a Christian, and he wrote a book. The title of the book, I Dared to Call Him Father. That's how precious this is to someone who's never been able to know God with that level of closeness and intimacy. And you, as you've come to know God, are taught by the Lord himself to call God your Father. Oh, look, it's true that this some struggle to use this name for God because of our own complicated relationships with dads or the contested understanding of human fathers. That's, yeah, I understand. But here Jesus leads us through our troubles to the good and gracious God. And as he calls upon God in this way, he invites you to call upon God in this way, Father. The first word captures, I think, the whole. But let's go to the rest and we'll go a bit faster. So Jesus has us begin with God and with God's concerns. Hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Let's think about those two. Hallowed be your name. God's name stands for God's person. And might God, might we kind of have you, God, as someone set apart. That idea, hallowed, it's an old English word. It just means set apart as special, treated as precious, sanctified, holyified, if you will. God, might we honour you? And might we show that by the way we honour your name? Might your name be hallowed? And your kingdom come. Might your plans happen, is what we're praying there. His kingdom comes in two ways, I think. His kingdom comes when we respond to him, when we turn to trust him. And his kingdom will come on that day when the risen Jesus returns, bringing his judgment. Today is the open invitation. Come, be welcomed by the Father. Call upon God. Not everyone does welcome God, that's clear. Some do turn and trust him. Others do resist him. But here we're praying, God, might your... We're praying, Father, help us not to think lightly of you. But please might your kingdom of grace melt hard hearts. Gather your children and come, Lord Jesus. That's what we're praying here. We begin with God. Then we go to our many needs, both daily and eternal. Give us today our give us each day our daily bread. Here we are praying for food, but you might think, well, I've got three loaves in the freezer. Do I keep praying for daily bread when I've got, you know, next week's bread covered? Actually, Martin Luther says, when you pray, give us each day our daily bread, God answers by giving you a baker and a delivery truck driver and a checkout person. He's giving you his... And so I think what Luther's saying is you can thank God for the way that he provides the food that comes to your mouth. But we're not just praying for food here. We're praying for our daily needs. God's here teaching us daily dependence, needs like food and drink, but also clothes for our back and a home to live in and a job to serve God through and relationships and friends. We're even praying for good government, our daily needs. Please, God, give us our daily bread and show us all that you're providing that we might be thankful. Next, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. So now we move from detailed daily necessities to look to God to meet our greatest eternal need. His forgiveness of our sins. And his forgiveness is something he gives us once for all time. And his forgiveness is something he gives us every day for our ongoing life. Well, we're asking for that forgiveness, eternal and daily. And not only that, notice, we're asking for grace to extend what we get from him to others. Forgive us as we forgive those who sin against us. Sometimes that's a tough thing to do. Some of us have really difficult relationships. Here we're asking, God, please give the grace that I need just to forgive. And lead us not into temptation. This means praying, I think, that God would keep us from falling into sin. And so we're praying here, Lord, you know how weak we are, how easily tempted. toward things that don't help us and that don't honour you. Please keep us from failing you and failing others, and give us strength to resist temptation and instead live for you. What a prayer this is. What a prayer. We've only just scratched the surface. We could talk much more. But here, just notice how amazing it is. Words that are so simple to understand, so easy to use. Words that give you big categories, comprehensive categories to think, what could I be praying? I met with a guy the other day and I said, how can I pray for you? He said, I've got no idea. Well, here we've got some categories, some different things that we could be praying for. And this is a prayer that's easy to use, wouldn't you agree? And I wondered, why? Here's a discovery from me. Why do the disciples in verse 1 say, Lord, teach us to pray just as John taught his disciples? They see Jesus praying and they want to be like John's disciples. Why? This has been bugging me this week, and we've done some work on it in growth groups. I found some help. Is it because they think, look, we feel inadequate. If we could at least pray like John's disciples, then we'd be growing in prayer. Is that what they think? Lots of people feel inadequate when it comes to praying. You know, leave it to the professionals. Like, get yourself a priest. He'll pray for you. You do the praying. Like, lots of people sort of think, oh, I could never say words to God that God would hear. Do you know, Jesus doesn't just teach these fellows and us to pray like John's disciples. He teaches us to pray like himself. You can, because of this, pray like Jesus. Do you agree with that? Do you accept that? I think, no, hang on. Jesus can pray. I can't pray. Here, I think he's teaching you to pray like himself. You can pray like Jesus. Do you accept that? He gives you the words that he uses. He gives you the very title. He calls on God as Father and he invites you to do the same. You can pray like Jesus. I've got to say, when I saw that this week, I thought, wow, that's quite an encouragement to be praying. Okay, let's take another step forward here. Jesus teaches us pray in this way. Second, verses 5 to 13. We're still talking about praying because you can see there asking is right the way through these verses, 5 to 13. And so the heading that I've given 5 to 13 is that we have no need to hesitate when we pray. If the first section was talking about what we pray, now we're talking about why we keep praying or why we start praying. There's no need to hesitate when we come to God. I think some of you have probably heard of John Wesley's wife, Susanna. Have you heard of her? She had a tough time praying because she had loads of kids. And so you can imagine their morning routine, pretty chaotic. But instead of hesitating and, you know, I'll just do this thing with little Charles first, the story goes that she would sit at the kitchen table with her Bible and she'd have her apron on, as it did in those days, and she'd fold her apron up and over her head. So she's sitting at the table with, it's a pretty strange sight, isn't it? But here she is sitting with the apron over her head so that all the little kids in the home say, Mum's praying, don't disturb her. Here's a woman who learns, well, actually, prayer is something that I need to give focus and attention and time to. We have stuff that distracts us constantly. You think, well, we've got it so bad now with all these phones. But think about having a house like she had. Here, Jesus says, no need to be distracted and no need to hesitate. You can pray. And he gives us two little stories, parables, that I think help us not to hesitate. The first parable, we had a lot of trouble with verses 5 to 8 this week. I think it's saying, bring your audacious requests to God. I think that's the summary. Let me try and describe it a bit more. There's a lot that's understandable. There's a midnight emergency. Someone's turned up. They're hungry. They need food. There's a tough choice. Do you wake a sleeping neighbour to borrow some bread or do you be a bad host? Well, we're supposed to feel embarrassed by the shamelessness of what I'm calling Mr. Audacious Asker, Who on earth would wake a neighbour up at midnight, get their kids out of bed? They all sleep in the same bed, that's normal. Who would disturb a home like that at midnight? Of course you wouldn't do that. But he does. And of course, Mr. Sleeper, reluctant sleeper, says, "Don't bother me." Can you see there, verse 7? That's what we'd say too. Except that Mr. Sleepy does give Mr. Audacious Asker as much as is needed. Do you notice there? He will surely get up and give you as much as you need. Why? Not because they're friends, but because he's so audacious in asking. That word audacious, what does that mean? Daring, bold, sort of bold to the point of bordering on rude. Could you think to do that? No, you wouldn't ever think to do that. That's rude. He does it. And Jesus intends to have us see that we ought to bring our requests to God. We think our stuff is insignificant. We think, I could never bother God with the stuff of my life. It's so small and trivial. Jesus says, bring your requests. And you can tell that he's saying that because the little linking word at verse 9, so I say, ask. Actually, he doesn't just say that, he goes on. And the repetition and the promises that he gives are like a cavalcade here, urge us to pray. Ask and it will be given. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened. And just in case we've not been listening, just in case we've sort of missed the point that God really is eager to respond to those who pray, he then repeats it, where this time our praying is emphasised with God's responding. Everyone who asks is receiving. Everyone who seeks is finding. Everyone who knocks, the door is open. I should say, the promise here is not like, you know, pray for a red Ferrari and find it in the driveway tomorrow morning. We're not doing that. A little, like, think about how a relationship works. A little girl asks her mum for a lot of things. And her mum loves her little girl, but doesn't always give her what she wants. But she does give her daughter what her daughter needs. And I think the same here with God. He promises to give what you need. So ask. The challenge is, will we ask? Jesus gives us this audacious asker, as if to sort of emphasise what we should be doing. You'll never be as audacious as this guy. Well, be a little bit audacious, won't you, and ask. The second parable addresses a different hesitation, not in our asking, but in God's giving. And the question really here is, does God have anything good to actually give? Oh, there's humour in these verses 11 to 13. I think you're supposed to hear this and want to answer out aloud. So Jesus starts, if your son asks for a fish, if you're a father, would you give a snake? No, of course we wouldn't give a snake. Or if he asked for an egg, would you give a scorpion? No, of course no dad would do that. So then, Jesus says, a father who's evil, that means a sinner like the rest of us, a father like that knows how to give good gifts to their children. So don't you think God, who is a father, will have a good gift to give to you? How much more? Jesus actually doesn't just ask a question, he asserts an amazing thing for us to take on board. How much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? God is the Father who loves to give in response to those who ask. And here God promises to give not just a gift, but him, his very own Holy Spirit. God's giving us himself at that point. The same Spirit who came to Jesus, helped Jesus resist temptation, helped Jesus trust his Father and do his Father's will and go to the cross, the same Spirit who led Jesus to the cross and raised Jesus from the dead, is now promised to you who ask him. There's nothing better that God could give, actually. Nothing that would draw you into closer relationship with God. Nothing more powerful than the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead. Nothing more effective to help you trust God and go on trusting and to join you inseparably to Christ. Have you asked God for his Holy Spirit? Whoever trusts God has received the Holy Spirit, because by the Spirit of God that we hold to God in faith. But if you haven't yet, if you recognize yourself, yeah, look, I'm not trusting in God as I could, ask God for his Spirit. How much more will the Father in heaven give his Holy Spirit to those who ask him? There's the encouragement. Be praying and asking. Now, for those of us who have received the Spirit, our prayer is that God's Spirit would be at work in us and through us. In us, changing us to be more like Christ every day, and through us, that we might have what's needed to serve him and to serve others in all the ways that are fitting. Can you hear how Jesus is strongly addressing our hesitations, showing us why we have every reason to pray? He's a masterclass in prayer. I wonder what detail, two practical questions as we finish. I wonder what detail we've seen here spurs you on. I wonder what's caught your attention. If you just look over those verses, I'll slow down and give you a moment. If you just look over those verses, what detail has caught your attention that you think, huh, yeah, I could pray some more or in different ways. I could pray. What's one detail? Have you found one? Can I ask you to share one detail with someone at morning tea time today? Because that'll be an encouragement to them as well. Second question. What's needed practically for you to be praying? Is it an alarm, 5 minutes earlier in the morning? Is it a friend arranged to meet up with? I've got to say, Jay, the bishop of our group of churches, schedules us a once-a-month meeting on Zoom. There's 20 minutes of news, but then there's 40 minutes of praying for other ministers. So I got to do that this week. That's such a help to me, to be praying with others, to be praying with you, to be praying with others. That spurs me on personally to be praying. What is it for you? Is it a routine that you used to have but fell off the horse, whatever? Time to resume. Is it a notebook that you could jot down? Is it an app like PrayerMate that you could get up on your phone to help you organise your prayers? What's the help, the practical help that will get you praying? We schedule our own church prayer meetings on the third Monday of every month as one small way to have us as a church continue to pray. What's needed practically for you to pray? Jesus wants us to be a praying people. Yesterday I heard on the radio another lovely touching story about the Queen. A family wrote and published a little book. The book was about the Queen and her corgis. And the kids apparently did all of the drawing illustrations in the book, and they had it printed. And they sent off a printed copy to the Queen. And what do you know? The Queen had her lady-in-writing write and send a personal letter in response. How amazing. They couldn't believe that the Queen would take time to reply to some small little family in some far-flung place in her realm. But she was delighted to do so. How much more ready is God to hear and respond to you? You can pray like Jesus. God's ear is open to your requests. Think what an amazing encouragement that is to pray. Why don't we then, it seems fitting that we finish with the Lord's Prayer. We'll go to the version that we normally use. Can we pull that up, please, Joel? Would you join me as we pray? We'll pray this prayer a bit slower than we normally do so we can be more thoughtful about it. But join in as we pray these words that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. So we say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.